Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We have prayer on Thursday evenings at 6, corporate prayer, and really good prayer time as usual. And just praying for all the names up here. And one of the things I was praying about was the youth camp coming up this week. And I just want to let you know some amazing things are going to happen. God's going to show up, and I know they're all good, but it's going to be the best one so far. So if you've been hesitant about signing up or having your kids go to that, encourage them to be there. It's a great value. You can't find a youth camp for $25 anywhere. We keep the cost low to get as many folks out as we can to go, and they go out in the woods and meet God there, so it's going to be an amazing time. So if you haven't signed up yet, go ahead and get that in. But we were talking from 2 Timothy chapter 3 last week, and let me read these verses again. And we're starting with verse 14, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. It says this, "But as for you," and in the context in which we're talking here is Paul was writing to Timothy. Timothy is a pastor and going through a lot of situations, which we can probably all relate to, trials and tribulations and you know, asking Paul for advice and help, and also in this chapter that these verses are found in, Paul's talking about the last days, and you know, and he said the last days was 2,000 years ago, but the last days, God's got a different sense of timing than we do, but and so it's in this context, and you probably ought to go ahead and read that whole chapter there. But it's in that context that these verses are written. "But as for you, continue to hold to the things you have learned and which you are convinced, knowing from whom you learned them, and how from your childhood you've had a knowledge of and been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you and give you understanding for salvation, which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, through the leaning of the entire human personality on God in Christ Jesus, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. Every scripture is God-breathed." Say that with me. "Every scripture is God-breathed. It's given by His inspiration and profitable for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action, so that the man of God, the woman of God, may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work." And so this sermon series is talking about the breath of God. Amplify says that, but you know, New King James would just say inspiration. All scripture is given for inspiration. But do a little study in that word. You can do it yourself. Look up in the Greek and Greek dictionary. But it means this inspiration. It's the breath of God. It means it's a force coming from in. It's from inside of God and who He is. And it's like He's blowing. He's breathing it. You know how we read last week in Genesis how you know God took man from the dust and the clay of the earth and formed him, but then He breathed into that man and brought life. And so we talk about the scriptures, and so the scriptures, the Bible, the Word of God, is not just a history book. It's just not a collection of nice stories and things that we learn in Sunday school class or when we were a child. No, I mean, it's inspired. God inspired men, inspired people to write these words down, and so they put them down, and now we have them today, but these words still, and I did the illustration last week, which I won't do again, but I had a balloon, and I blew it up, and you know, I showed the balloon, and it had basically no form, but then I breathed into it. The air from inside of me came into that balloon, and it took form, and it took shape. And so the Word of God, you know, it's it comes forth and it was inspired to be written down at one time, but it still contains God. The words on the pages still contain God and all that He is. His supernatural power, His healing, His provision, His peace. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." They contain the energy, the power, all of who God is. And so we got to be careful that we don't just have our Bibles just sitting somewhere and we pull it out. A lot of people don't even bring it to church anymore. But, you know, we just pull it out for a service or something like that. No, it's something to, you know, Matthew 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's food. It's a necessity. And we give a lot of attention to our bodies, and we should, and to our minds, but the most important part of man is the spirit. You know, we're spirit, soul, and body, and the world gives a lot of attention to the body and to the mind, but they know very little about the spirit. But here we talk about the spirit of man, the spirit of our, and that's the most important part of us. Our lives flow from our spirit. And the Word of God is food for that spirit. And just like we want our bodies strong and our minds strong, how much more important is it for our spirits to be strong? And just having a snack, you know, once a week, I mean, how would that do for your body? That just wouldn't cut it. It's not enough. A meal once or twice a week, you know, it needs to be on a daily basis. We have a hard time going a day without food. Well, what about our spirits? Our spirits are starving. And then not only that, but the Word of God washes and cleanses our minds. Romans 12 talks about the transformation, the renovation of our minds. How many know our minds get filled with junk? The mind is the filter between the spirit and this natural realm. And just like a pipe, before your sink, you ever have your drain get clogged? And you ever clean it out? I mean, there's some nasty stuff in there. And that happens to your mind just by living in this world and the things that we go through. And of course, the thoughts of the enemy and the fiery darts and things that he throws at us. Without the cleansing power of the Word, that even if you're in church, even if you're a believer, the filter will be clogged. And you won't be connected to your spirit or hearing from God like you need to. So it's important. The Word of God is important. And I mentioned this last week, and you know, I've been walking with God since 1982. I mean, I've known about God longer than that, but as far as being saved and walking with Him, so 32 years now since I was saved. And initially I started hearing about God's Word and the importance of God's Word, and I didn't know that. And so I've been having, you know, love affair, with the Word for all these years. But, you know, there's a lot of people in church. There's people sitting here today. There's young people sitting here today. They don't even believe that this is the Word of God. They don't believe that this is an inspired Word of God. They don't believe it's God-breathed. And I feel for you. Because if you don't believe that, I mean, you have no foundation. You really have nowhere to go. You can have philosophy or all these other education, all these other things, but where's the truth? You've got to have a foundation of truth. And where is your foundation of truth? Some man, some teacher somewhere, you know, depending on how they feel one day, and you know. No, I mean, I want the truth. Jesus said. And so you're going to have to face that. Even maybe today you hear, maybe you don't know God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me." Now you got to deal with that. Either he is, or he's a liar, or he's crazy. I was reading on vacation. I love to read, and so I have my five books. I've always read about five books at a time, but I was reading, one of the books I was reading was The Case for Christ. It's by Lee Strobel. Great book. So if you have problems with whether, you know, about the book or with Jesus, that would be a good book intellectually for you to read. I've never really, I'm just reading it, kind of brushing up on some things, but I'm not going to teach from that today and try to go through the historical, you know, perspective and, you know, why the Word of God is what it is. And, you know, maybe that's for another class. But if you have a struggle, get that book and read it. But if it is the Word, is God breathed? The Word is inspired by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it's got life today. It contains life. You know, for me, things I was reading 30 years ago still impacting me today as I read them. All righty, so let's talk about the Word. There's some things that are mentioned here in 2 Timothy. Y'all excited about church today? I can't tell. Can't tell by looking at you sometime. But there's some things that he mentions to Timothy. The first thing he talks about, the Scriptures, is it's instruction for salvation. Instruction for salvation. Romans says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It says over four times in the Scriptures, the just live by faith. So as believers, we're to live by faith. How can we live by faith if we're not hearing the Word? And that's not possible. It says, and the Scripture says, how can they hear without a preacher? But in Romans 10, the Scriptures that we use to, when we share the gospel with somebody, talking about believing in their heart, God raised Jesus from the dead, confessing Him as the Lord, Romans 10, y'all know that? Well, the word salvation in those verses there is the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. And it certainly, it means we're saved from eternal death. Certainly it means that when I die, I can have that assurance I'm going to heaven, spending the eternity with God, and this life is just a vapor. So certainly the Word of God, the gospel, has the power within us to save us, to make us brand new on the inside, change us from death to life, hell to heaven, under Satan's rulership to God's rulership. So the gospel, the Word of God, has the power to do that. But it's this instruction in salvation is not just, you know, the day that you were born again. We need to be walking in that salvation every day. The word sozo means save, heal, cure, preserve, keep safe and sound, rescue from danger or destruction, to deliver. And that the basic meaning of the word sozo is to give new life. Now, I don't know about you, I need some new life today. Thank God I was saved 30 years ago. If that's all that happened, I'm going to heaven when I die. But what about today? I need salvation today. Is that Antonio over there? Hey, man, good to see you. Glad you're here today. Blessings. Okay, back to my message. So we need to have people preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel. And here, I just want to make mention of the importance of having a church. You know, we're having a crisis in North America about church. Now, we look around, we see some mega churches and, you know, 10,000, 20,000 people, and you're thinking, well, everybody is in church. No, they're not. You know, in any given area, 60 to 80%, some places higher in the United States, are unchurched people. Is that something? In Augusta, in this area, 500,000 people, 60 to 80% are unchurched. They're not in church today. And God's system is church. And I'll just go ahead and say this, and you heard this before. This is the hour of the church. At various times, it's been certain things highlighted, certain ministries, certain revelations. But this right now is in the hour of the church, and I think that's why there's a battle about people being in church. And I have seen over the years, and, you know, just folks that I have known that either attended here or attended other places, and they stopped going to church. And not only did they slide back into their former things, they were worse off. There's something about having a community of believers, having a fellowship, having leaders, worshiping with other believers, that is necessary to grow in God. He does things in community. And so I just want you to know there's a battle going on about church. And we need to recognize that and be aware of that. You know, here at the church, we're just being diligent right now with church attendance, not like calling people like, where are you? But people that haven't been here, we're calling them, writing them, emailing, are you okay? Because it's a battle happening right now. And the enemy is doing his best to keep people out of church. And so this may not be your church, but I just want to encourage you, find you a church home. And if you can't, you know, well, find the home for right now, go somewhere until you do. You move to a new city and go to a college campus, one of the first things you ought to do, go find you a church. That's one of the most important things you're going to do. But how many times do I talk to college kids, you know, several years later, still haven't found a church? Well, have you been looking? No, I haven't, you know. I mean, God, this is part of His system. All righty. Got a little bit off there, but anyway. So the first point is instruction for salvation. The second one, which you're really going to love this one, okay? Turn to your neighbor and point at him and say, you're going to love this one. The second thing that the word does is for reproof, conviction, correction, and discipline in obedience. Doesn't that sound good? I mean, those are all words we just love. I mean, I've been meditating on reproof today. I love to go to church and be convicted. I want to get some discipline today. Everybody say, I love discipline. Now, did you mean that or are you lying? But this is part of the word, and this is part of why we need to have teachers and people in our lives that are speaking into our lives, because every one of us needs correction, conviction. Now, I used to get offended when people would walk out the door and say this to me, Pastor, you really stepped on my toes today. I should have had steel-tipped boots to wear today because you stepped all over my toes. And I was like, man, I am just mean. What kind of guy am I? I need to soften up my message. And you know. But now, if you tell me that you're just going to encourage me to preach even stronger. So you better measure your words, whether you say that to me or not. Really? I step on your toes? Praise God! I am so glad. Here, let me go ahead and just stomp on them. But, you know, what this really means, it means, you know, conviction means to set things right, to make things straight. All of us just get wrong thinking, we get deceived, we get in the flesh, We deal with greed and jealousy and pride and just living in this world. And how many have been driving, and you're a good driver and been driving for years, but how many you're driving along and you're pulling into the other lane and you almost hit somebody? After all these years, you would think to look back in the blind spot, but you just kind of get sloppy sometimes. Some of you are sloppy by you just driving so fast. This is, you know, I-20 is not NASCAR. We got to beat people everywhere we're going. We let things slip. And we need the power of the word. And you know, there when you have to realize, and I understand this because I've done this as well, but there's a difference between condemnation, which Romans 8 says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ, and conviction. Conviction is the Holy Spirit speaking to you and saying, you're off. You're messing up. You're making a mistake. That decision you're about to make, that's not from me. Whereas condemnation is beating you up about sin, you lousy, no good nothing, you're never going to be anything. And what condemnation does, it leaves you without hope. And so we want at Good News Church, we want the Holy Spirit to convict people. Lost people, believers, and that's just the power of the word being spoken by inspiration. And the Bible says to speak the truth in love. Now, people have a hard time here sometimes because they'll say, people that we know, well, you're just preaching to me because you know my problem. And they get offended about that. Seriously. No, we're not doing that. We're just following the Holy Spirit. And it may be your particular area or something you're dealing with. And so when that happens, you ought to say, instead of getting offended, you ought to say, hey, speak to me, Holy Spirit. Pastor's getting on my case. Come on, Pastor. And so why don't you just start doing this? Like if I get in your area, start doing this. Come on, Pastor. Dig a little deeper in that area. Third thing, training in righteousness. God's got a way for us to live. And the fundamental, basic things that we teach here at Good News Church are walking in love, living by faith, being led by the Spirit, knowing who we are in Christ, walking in our authority, sharing our faith, giving life. I mean, these are the core messages. I mean, but really anything that we say has these things all over them. Your purpose, finding out who you are, all of these things. And so the Word of God does that, training in righteousness, training in how to live. We did a message called a series. Maybe we need to do it again. Maybe, you know, coming out summertime. I mean, even today at the beginning of service, you can kind of feel people are a little sluggish. Summer comes and we're kind of like, well, we're going to take a little vacation from things. And you can get sluggish. Easy to do. But there's a series we did on the 7 big habits that our training and our teaching ought to lead to habits. Here's some of the habits. Studying the Word. Confessing the Word. Worship. These are all habits we need to have in our lives. Not just going through the motions, but practicing these things. Prayer. Everybody remember what prayer is? Wouldn't it be fun? I'll just start with Carol. Wouldn't it be fun and say, Carol, how much you prayed this week? Wouldn't that be fun? You prayed a lot. Good. Eddie?
Yeah, I talked to God a bunch.
Talked to him? I better just stop right here because I don't know. Prayer, talking to God. How about praying in the Spirit? praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues. You know, there's just habits. And the Word, when you open yourself to the Word, it will produce things in your life. Giving life. That's one of the things that we do here, giving life. Whereas we go about our day not just being selfish and thinking about ourselves, but we have our eyes open to others around us to be a minister. So these three things, instruction and salvation, reproof, conviction, correction, discipline, training in righteousness, produces the fourth thing. And it says that the man of God may be complete and proficient, well-fitted, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The instruction in the Word is useful, profitable, advantageous, helpful. When you're hearing the Word on a regular basis, you're going to find out why you're here. You're going to find out your purpose. God made you specifically for a reason. It's going to help you in your decisions, help you in your relationships. It's going to help you be qualified for what He has for you to do. Amen? So with the Word, here's some things. Hear it. Study it. Now, I've got a lot of study books, and I love to study different things. You can study about books. You can study about words, Greek and Hebrew words. You can do commentaries, and all those things are great, but nothing beats reading the Word. You can have all this knowledge about these things, but nothing beats reading the Word. So you may not have all the study books, but pick up your Bible and start reading it. Start with the Gospels, start with the book of John, read the book of Acts, read a psalm or proverb, I don't know, do something. Well, Pastor, I don't understand a lot of it. Well, just when you come to the verses that mean something to you, don't worry about all the things you don't know. What is ministering to you today? And get that verse. That's what when I started reading the Word, that's what I started doing. I would underline And I would write things. Come on, Carol. Come on now. I would underline and write things down. And then those verses, which is the next part, meditate on that verse that jumped off the page. And I might read a whole chapter and maybe just get a few verses. But use those few verses to speak to you, to bring life, to minister to you throughout the day. Hear it, study it, meditate it, which I won't talk for a minute on, confess it. That's what we're doing on a daily basis with the Word. Now, the word meditate, and I just seeing this last night, you have these ingredients. How many here like coffee? Who just drinks their coffee straight? Some real men here and women. But that doesn't fit the illustration, so I'm not going to use that. But when I have my coffee, like today, I put my sweetener in there. Love that sweetener. And then I put my cream in there. And then what do you do with it? You stir it. That's what meditation does. Meditation stirs all the ingredients and makes it something into something delicious. You got your brand, and I know you do, your brand at Starbucks. I mean, I gotta have it. No? Do you drink coffee, Sean?
Not anymore.
Drinks tea. Unsweet tea, just straight, right?
Sweet tea.
Sweet tea. Hot tea. All right, we're doing a survey of what you drink. Okay. But you stir it around. That's what meditation does. You're mulling over what you studied in the morning or that scripture, and you're mulling it around and you're stirring it up, and it has meaning for you throughout the day. It's speaking to you. It's ministering to you. It's bringing life to you. I mean, this is a great scripture. If you don't have a scripture for today, I'll give you one. Philippians 4:13. It's one. I mean, I need this scripture on a daily basis. Like I need my coffee. I mean, I've got to have Philippians 4:13. I've got to have it today. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amplified says, He infuses me with power. I'm sufficient in His sufficiency. That means I am ready for anything today. Come on, devil! Come on, trials. Trials, I laugh at you. Ha, ha, ha. Is that all you got, devil? I don't recommend saying that, but I'm inspired to say it now. Is that all you got? I can do all things through Christ. Woo! I'm infused with power today. I mean, can't you see it? Can't you see it on me? Susie, can't you see it? Susie's eyes got real big. Oh, my God. The Word feeds our spirit, renovates our mind, brings health and healing to our body, contains the life of God. His Word, oh, this is awesome. His Word on our lips is the same as Jesus Himself saying it. That'll make your religious mind tilt. Pastor, that ain't right. He hears the prayers of the righteous. When we speak His Word, that's what He wants us to do. Speak His Word back to Him. Pray the Word of God. God pays attention to it. And He don't know who He's hearing. He's just hearing the son and daughter of God. He doesn't make any distinction. He's looking for faith. He's looking for people that believe in what they're saying. But it's powerful. His Word on our lips. That's why the enemy's fighting it so much, for you to be silent. And we're to bring His life, that Word that's in us. And it's not just about us getting the Word, which is awesome, but then we're now bringing life to others. You're the breath of God to others. Yeah. Look in your Bibles, and, well, we can probably just read it. Deuteronomy 11. This is a good verse for you. This is a good verse for parents today. Deuteronomy 11, verse 18. I'm reading from the Message translation. It says, place these words on your hearts, get them deep inside you, tie them on your hands and foreheads as a reminder. They used to have boxes attached to their heads with the Word in it. Maybe that's what we need to do. I mean, it would be a little unusual, but it might be a good ministry opportunity for me. Why is that iPad attached to your head? Well, I'm just acting on the Word of God. I just have the Word attached to my head, and like they used to do back in the old days, and I'd probably get a lot of people saved by doing this. If you haven't tried it, don't knock it. Someone can create a little Velcro thing and put some Velcro on there, and could be a $1 million thing, Eddie. Think about it. Pastor Matt's gone off the deep end. Teach them to your children. That's a novel idea. Talk about them wherever you are, sitting at home or walking in the street. Talk about them from the time you get up in the morning until you fall into bed at night. Inscribe them on your doorposts, in the gates of your cities. It's pretty important. Would you say it's pretty important to get the Word in your heart? I remember when my kids were young, and Maddie Sue, would read the Bible to her, which is like 2 or 3 years old. And, you know, reading just different passages that I like. And then one time, and so I read the same ones over and over, and one time I was reading like Psalm 23, and I just started it, and I said, Maddie, just see what you can quote some of the rest of it. She quotes the whole thing. And I'm all like, what? She's like 3 years old, quotes the whole chapter to me. Who here can do that? Then I go over to Psalm 91, same time, and I start reading Psalm 91. She quotes the whole chapter to me, word for word. The word. Start them out when they're young. Put the word in their hearts. All right, Matthew 7, turn over there. And again, I'm going to read from the message translation, Matthew 7, verse 24. These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who has built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed on the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When the storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. I've seen that in people's lives. It just collapses like a house of cards. When Jesus concluded his address, the crowd burst into applause. They had never heard teaching like this. Now, I used to read that back in the old days, and I used to think it's the people that hear the word and then those that don't hear the word. That if you hear the word, you built it on the rock, but if you don't hear the word, it's built on the sand. That's not what that's saying. Both of these houses are hearing the word. The difference is one applies it and the other is just hearing things. And that's what we need to be focusing on. I mean, if we're going to build our house on the rock, we need to put some attention into how we're applying the word. Where, you know, you can be sitting here today and saying, well, that's a good message, and walk out of here the rest of the week. Hey, I grew up, I was in church every Sunday the first 19 years of my life. Every Sunday. Faithful to my group. And went to Christian school. All that. But I'll just be honest with you. I didn't know one scripture. I never during the week ever thought about a scripture. Isn't that amazing, Rhonda? In church, hearing the word. I mean, I got my Bible. I have a Bible from my class. It's about 15 pounds. It's a workout just carrying the thing around. Got Bible class. 19 years. I mean, that's sorriness on my part. I didn't know one verse to meditate. We just didn't think that much of it. It's always the pastor or someone else's job. I don't really need to know the word. And I hate to say it, and nobody in this place, but there's a whole lot of churches like that. And a whole lot of people in churches. They're just hearing messages. And they're just, but is their house really built on the rock? Is there any difference between us and the world when the storms come? Do we do anything differently? Do you have something in you? Like when the trial hits you this week, what you know what I'm talking about? When the trial, what comes out of your heart? What's in you? And you can just kind of do your Sunday thing. And I am so glad you're here today. Check that box off. I'm so glad you're here. But today, I mean, it's just time for a little checkup. What are we doing? Are we playing church? Now, Kathy, help me make sure. If I get over into condemnation, just raise up your hand and say, Pastor, stop that. But if it's conviction, just don't say anything. It's good to be in church. But you just got, you know, we hopefully go to the doctor every year for a checkup. I mean, today we got to do a little checkup. And my question to you, is your Bible just sitting on your nightstand collecting dust? Is the Word alive in you? I mean, have you, and I know you have Rick, so I'll just look at you. You know, have we just gotten a little sloppy lately? Have we just kind of gone through the motions of, praise the Lord? Are we kind of just playing church a little bit here? Making it all look good, but really it's not, you know, I'm far. I want for people at Good News Church, because you're only here a short time, I want when you're out of here and facing life, because the real world's out here, out there, that you got something in you. And if you don't, we'll help. We'll come rushing. But we can't all, you know, make it to every situation you're in. I want you to have some substance. I want you to be able to say, and again, maybe not at first, but one day you'll be in a place to say, it is written. The devil's coming at your house, and you'll be able to stand. Mm-hmm. And the progression of this, where we're going in this church, and it's a work in progress, and it says faith and patience inherit the promises. You got to have a lot of patience as a pastor. Because if you don't have patience, you'll get over into condemnation. Mm-hmm. I got so mad one Sunday years ago. Some of you were here. I got so mad at the people, I just slammed my hand on the podium, almost broke the thing, almost broke my hand. I was that angry. That's not the way to go.
No.
I knew things were bad as a pastor when my gift for Christmas, have you ever seen those big hammer, wooden hammer things that say attitude adjuster? I got two of those for Christmas. Seriously. And I'm like, oh my God, this whole year I've been in condemnation. I've been an angry preacher. Sinners in the hand of an angry preacher. That's my testimony. All right, we'll close with this last verses here. You all know this. You can quote this to me. Mark chapter 4, but just read it with me on the screen in the Message translation. Mark 4, verse 14 says this: the farmer plants the word. Some people are like the seed that falls on the hardened soil of the road. No sooner do they hear the word than Satan snatches away what has been planted in them. You see the battle going on? What's it over? It's a battle over the word. And I've seen that happen. People come, immediately Satan comes to steal the word. I mean, no sooner they, you know, awesome service, they may even gotten saved that day, and they go out and get in a big fight and all everything else happens just right outside these doors. And some like the seed that lands in the gravel, when they first hear the word, they respond with great enthusiasm. But there is such shallow soil of character that when the emotions wear off and some difficulty arrives, which it will,
yes,
there is nothing to show for it. Now, a lot of us in here deal with this next one. The seed cast in the weeds represent the ones who hear the kingdom news but are overwhelmed with the worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. And the stress strangles what they heard and nothing comes of it. You ever been there? Hearing good word, but it's like it's not producing. It's being strangled. Cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, New King James says. Lust for other things entering in. Choke the word. See, the word should be a living thing. The word is alive. It should be ministering to us. It should be speaking to us. In our darkest moment, It's the word that should be coming up in our hearts. It's the word that has the answer. Yes. It's easy to let it slip. It's happened to me. It's happened to the best of us. But I just feel like we're such an important time that we're in this church and in the body of Christ. We've got to get people back to things. Got to get people back to prayer. Get people back to studying the word. Back to confessing the word. Back to worship. I was praying on Thursday, and a big part of what I was praying was about stirring up the people of Good News Church. Got a little sluggish. And I wish I could just, you know, I wish I could be just an angry preacher and just stir you up. But that didn't work. That's never worked. It's got to be the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit's not in it, then forget it. I mean, I can, you know, preach the message, best message you ever heard, but if the Holy Spirit's not in it, it's not going to bring any change. But this is an important time right now, and God's got some amazing things for us. So I want you to do your checkup today. Where are you at? And look in the mirror and say, and don't just, oh, everything's fine. Really look at where you've been at various times. If you're not in the best place you've ever been, then you need to make some changes. I want to live my life where the glory days are in the past. The glory days are right now. He's got big things for us. Big things for you. But the seed planted in the good earth represents those who hear the word, embrace it, and produce a harvest beyond their wildest dreams. Praise God. Hallelujah.